Welcome to Go Home Eat, a wrestling podcast. This is me, KP, with New Japan Jared.
Yes, hello.
Not too much New Japan to talk about today. We're jumping off a little early this week.
Yeah, there is. I just haven't gotten to watch it yet.
Right. We're jumping off a little early this week because I'm rolling on vacation soon to go. I'm actually going to visit the Gen Project.
Ray's here too.
Taking Ray with me. Go Home Eat Kid is here and in attendance. And we're going to check out the Gen Project's actual on-premise area there. So check out the website. Look at that stuff. Let's get into what's important. Wrestling. Impact Wrestling starts out the week with Tasha Steelz accompanied by Kiera Hogan versus Jazz and Jordani Grace. This was okay. Jazz kind of dominated it. The big veteran versus the smaller, quicker, young, arrogant youth, and then Tasha ran her mouth and all that. As Kiera tried to interfere, Jordani grabbed her by the foot, pulled her down. That turned into an STF by Jazz and the tap out. So that was interesting. We have this program of Jazz and Jordani eventually challenging Steelz and Hogan for their titles. And that's a good place to go because the women's division is interesting in that Gia Miller is going to interview ODB next. And she said something to the effect of boom, boom, bam, bam, and a swig of whiskey.
That sounds like an ODB promo.
Mm-hmm. And then she asked Gia if she wanted some whiskey. And Gia said, no, I'm working. And she said, me too, and took another swig and headed off to go do some kind of fighting somewhere.
I do like ODB.
Oh, yeah, she's funny. Trey Miguel winds up trying to talk his protege, Sam Beal, out of the fight. Well, first off, he tries to talk him out of being aligned with Sami Callihan, as Callihan had the week before got into him at Trey Miguel's wrestling studio and said, you know, Trey doesn't have passion, therefore you do, let me get to you. And then Beal challenges Trey to a fight, and Trey says, I don't want to fight you, you know, I'm here to help you develop. And he says, Sammy had told me that you would be like this, that you would be cowardly. He told me you wouldn't have passion, and by God, if Trey doesn't have passion, we're going to fight. So Trey says, fine, if you want some, we'll give it to you. And they're going to have a match later in the evening, which is pretty much the way you would think it goes. The kid gets in about two good shots, and then Miguel gets him in a finisher. Of course, Sammy comes out to watch, and lights go out. Sammy's in the ring, beating up Beal, who's already on the ground holding his ankle, and then lights go out, come back on, and Trey Miguel is standing there. What could have happened to Hackerman? And so that's how we go with that thing. Rohit, Raju, and Shira versus Storm and Sabin. And this was pretty good, although I still think Storm is getting a little bit of the rust off. He a little slow on some things here and there for him because he's a really good performer. The main thing here is there winds up being dissent between Shira and Raju as Raju's bossing him around, and then he winds up, the littler guys manage to somehow get rid of the monster and then isolate Raju and get him for the win. And then Raju tells Shira that I'm not going to pay you the money I promised because we didn't win, and that's going to wind up being some form of a fisticuffs between them. Decay sets up a match for Saturday's Sacrifice with Reno Scum after first she tells Triple X that they are a disappointment and runs them off. Reno Scum is not scared at all by Decay and the voices and all that, which I think that's going to be their undoing.
I mean, they live in Reno, man.
Yes, correct.
They've seen some things.
They've seen things. That's right. And they call themselves Scum to start with. Scum versus Decay.
I love that.
Classic. Keep it classic. Storm and Sabin try to take up for Cody Deaner, who's now going by just Deaner, after he has been in some form of a hot box and beaten by Joe Doring and EY. And that turns into Storm saying, you know, basically, I've been up and down the roads with you a long time. EY, why wouldn't you leave this boy alone? Y'all are trying to... You got his head all messed up. Be cool. Which leads to Doring and EY beating up Sabin and Storm a little bit. Because yeah. Cody, actually a Cody. Not that Cody.
Deaner.
Not that Cody. Deaner. Yes. We're not that big of a crossover.
No.
They can't have the gun.
Cody can't have... Oh.
they can't have Mr. Okay, anyway. So Cody winds up being the first one to throw a punch. Deaner, Cody Deaner does. And then they jump him 3-on-2. They get the win. They get the go ahead. This will turn into Storm Sabin during Deaner for a fight to get through them, to get to EY at some point. Jake something, which is his chosen name currently, says, let me help y'all out, because if you try a tag match with them on Saturday night, it's not going to work out because of EY being on the outside. So if you're a man of your word, James Storm says, then of course you can be our guy there. Scott D'Amore is with Brian Myers, and Brian has a huge lawsuit ready to go, bunches of papers, and Brian's lawyer has let him know that if he will just fire Eddie and erase Eddie's legacy from all of the record books, this lawsuit will go away. To which Scott D'Amore says, cool, y'all can have a no DQ match then. And so that's what we get.
That's what you were asking for, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on, you get the Tony talking thing. They talk about how great their pay-per-view went and how the record buys and all that. Strange, though, because they were talking about the record buys, but it almost seemed like it was probably filmed immediately following, so the record buys probably weren't in yet, but whatever.
They can say whatever they want, they could, especially in that scenario.
Maybe they wound up being incredible buys. I'm sure they did. I would assume the buy rate was good for that. I mean, I watched it. I bought it. D'Amore, Good Brothers, Finn Juice are all sitting at a table to sign a contract for a championship match. Lo and behold, it turns into drinking with the Good Brothers version of whiskey. And D'Amore says, I know how this is going to go. Look, here's the pen. Here's the paper. Y'all make sure you sign this before you get too drunk. I'll see you later. He leaves the room. They have a couple of drinks. To which, after one drink, Gallows says, that's Curt Hennig. Get it? Mr. Perfect?
Yes.
So good, right? And so then they pour one last glass, and basically the Finn Juice fill their glass. After two shots, they fill theirs all the way to the rim and only give the Good Brothers a little bit. And then after they've all signed, here's to the match. Good Brothers take their shot. Finn Juice throw the shots in the Good Brothers' faces, and we get fisticuffs. And this is what we want. Fisticuffs in a boardroom. It's going to be. I'm kind of excited about this match. I haven't been over the moon with Good Brothers, but I do want to see the Finn Juice in something that's fairly main event, fairly big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move into Chris Bay versus Ace Austin. Banger. Freaking banger.
Yeah, I believe it.
Fantastic. Get skewy in that. Eventually, TJP is omnipresent on this show all of a sudden, right? He puts his chair down at the top of the railway to observe. Madman Fulton goes up there to make sure TJP doesn't have any plans. TJP picks up his chair, walks away. Therefore, Fulton follows him into the back. Therefore, Ace gets distracted, turns, gets hit with the finisher, the ultimate finesse. What's
the finesser?
The finesse.
Because
It's springboard cutter, but the art of finesse is the name of it. The art of finesse. It's a fantastic move. He hits that, and sometimes I forget how good Ace is as a wrestler because he's in so much talking stuff, and then you wind up, he's in a lot of these like six-man tags and stuff like that where kind of his job is to get beat up, and he's good at getting beat up. Because
he's the smaller guy in the scenario, right. Especially with like a Madman Fulton.
Right. So, but when he is allowed to stretch it out, he's very, very good.
Dude, unbelievable.
Bay as well. And so we get Bay going over here, and then TJP winds up back at the Swingers Palace collecting his money because he had predicted how all that was going to go down. Josh Alexander says, enjoy your championship match with Ace. I'll have an eye on you. I don't know. It was fine. The match between TJP and Josh will be great. And I think I kind of want less of TJP. He's a very good wrestler, but at this point we're going on months of him always being in the middle of things, and I kind of like Ace and Bay and Alexander better. So I kind of
Jeez, that's a bit rough.
And I like
those are great wrestlers though.
But I've seen TJ wrestle a lot, and so less is more kind
of. Yeah, eventually like oversaturation becomes an issue, especially in wrestling when you watch every week.
Well, and two, he's also. you know, two talking segments every week.
Yeah,
and it's exactly. to the point, too, where, you know, D'Amore basically has, and this isn't his fault, but the way they've written this thing, D'Amore has protected him, handed him the belt, all that stuff. And so, in a way, you've kind of trained me to hate the guy, and he's supposed to be a babyface.
It went from being Rohit Raju being mad that TJP won the belt again through screwy circumstances, and you going, oh, haha, you get your comeuppance, to, oh, you're just being favored.
Right.
All the time. It's yeah.
It's weird. It's weird how they've managed to pull TJP out from my favorites list by letting him wrestle when he's great at wrestling. It's funny.
Yeah.
Huge announcement.
Huge.
Huge announcement. But I actually jumped the final match. ODB versus Susan is kind of a squash match.
Yeah.
The point of it was to get ODB, Jordani Grace, Jazz in the ring where Perrazzo and we think just Kimberly could jump. We didn't know that Hogan and Steels were coming too. So then we get all these heels whooping up on them. And so they stand tall at the post of this thing. We're still going to get Perrazzo with in the match on Saturday. We're still going to wind up getting a program with Jazz and against. I can't see them taking the belts off of any of them though. So that's kind of. I mean, but you know what? It's not a main pay-per-view. Sacrifice is coming. That'll be the one where that will be the one where it'll be in question as to who the winner will be, probably. I can't see them pulling the belts off of any of that. Now, the huge announcement, which will affect the next show, Scott D'Amore first brings out Moose and Swan, and they will be unifying a non-title, TNA title, which was anointed by Moose to Moose for Moose. To be the champion of in a company that no longer exists against the legitimate Impact champion Swan to unify those two titles. And then the kicker, because we already knew that, the kicker was the winner will face Kenny Omega at Sacrifice.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And that's a big, big deal to get Kenny on your show. We were just talking about how they have to book that, and like I said to Jared a second ago, I feel like they have to book it to where Moose loses because Omega doesn't want to face him, and Omega and the Good Brothers figure out a way to cost Moose the match, putting Swan over, therefore putting the guy they know they can beat in that spot. The person that we think Impact wants to be their main guy for the next year doesn't need to lose to Kenny Omega at the biggest pay-per-view.
Now, we were talking about this a little bit too. It's kind of weird what Impact's been getting out of this working relationship. It's because it's like, oh, Kenny comes over and Kenny's presented as better than everybody on the show.
Well, let's list what they've been getting. End of list,
yeah. There's... It's not much. Like they had
they got eyes on the product a little bit, yeah.
And then I guess most people decided that it wasn't for them and left.
Right.
Which I guess is fair, but the numbers haven't been as hopeful as I would have liked in a scenario like this.
Well, the other thing is too, it's a different show than AEW.
It is not AEW Dynamite.
And right now, with no fans at all, like they're doing, it really feels significantly different. Because, you know, AEW is all the bells and whistles.
Yes.
Pyro, sparkles, whatever.
Yeah, some of the whistles don't go off when they should, but...
We'll get there. But, right now, Impact isn't doing any of that. They're just wrestling. And it's kind of, and I like what they're doing. It's my cup of tea, but it may not be yours. And that's what they found. That also, it doesn't, being funny and putting them down sometimes is one thing. Constantly belittling the company is a little weird. I almost hope that Christian somehow begins to get into it with Callis.
Put some respect on the TNA name.
Back on, well, because, you know, he was a big deal to the jump-off point for that company.
Yeah.
And if he would somehow, well, we'll get there because we're about to get into all that anyway. Now, let's get into the main event of the week, AEW Dynamite. Matt Jackson and Ray Phoenix start off. No talking. get straight into
this. This was the appropriate way to open the show.
What did you think about it?
It was great. Ray Phoenix is just such an unbelievable performer, and I do actually want to give a shout out to Matt Jackson for also being quite good.
Yeah.
It was the match that they brought the energy it needed to at the start of a show, especially after how the pay-per-view ended.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, that was the first thing on my mind was like, oh man, how are they going to recover? And it's like, oh, they go out there and they just have like this incredible athletic, crazy match with Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's like tried and true method of making me go like, oh yeah, this is why I really like this company.
Right.
I enjoyed Pac glaring, very supporting. I guess.
Yeah.
Just angry looking at Nick Jackson. It's great.
Right. I thought that it kind of did showcase how good Matt could be as like a mid-card talent. Nick too, for that matter.
Oh yeah.
But of course they're
way better
considered
together.
The best tag team on the planet, so it's kind of silly for me to go they could really be good mid-carders, you know. But
no, I mean they jive together way better, and I feel like that's almost certainly due to the fact that they've tagged for like their entire careers.
And as good as this is, there were moments here and there where it wasn't quite seamless.
No, yeah.
And like if they did this again in 2 weeks, it'd be better. You know what I mean? If they did, if he got the chance to do it 4 or 5 times,
and that's pretty sure that's what the goal is.
He'd be pretty good. I mean, he is good. He's very good. But I'm talking about Matt. But Ray is amazing, you know. Okay, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Gargus.
I'm so tired of Cody.
Yes. Okay, so Cody wins pretty easily here, and then we get the...
All the pyro, though.
Okay.
Just a laughable amount of pyro.
Right. And then we get Penta standing up from the Spanish announcer's table, I would assume.
Yes.
And he gets the Spanish announcer and, for this moment in time, translator.
Yes.
To tell us what he wants to say directly towards Cody, primarily, I should have broke your arm last week. I can break your arm, and then you won't be able to carry your beautiful baby girl, to which Cody loses his mind, attacks, and we are going to get some form of a program. I don't even think Penta had gotten it. The guy had even gotten it out of his mouth before Cody attacked.
Yeah.
He's fury. Fury Cody Rhodes.
It kills me because I do think it's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's like a great line. It's super villainous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was like the first thing they said. I feel like that should have been waited. They should have waited a little bit to like really pull the trigger on a big moment with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, and two, here's my fear here. Okay, common sense says you realize you've underutilized Penta. You put him in this with Cody before Cody takes a little bit of a break. He does break Cody's arm.
Yes.
In fake land.
Yes.
Kayfabe. Fake being a Soldier Boy reference.
Yes.
For us, it would be kayfabe. Cody goes away. The baby is born. Cody takes a little bit of time there. He comes back. He gets into another feud with Penta after Penta has been gone over the Prince of Wrestling, and then moves on to a couple other big things, right? And you get Cody. In theory, what we're getting here is Penta on this strange main event run over like 3 months. And then if that goes well, boom. But it's Cody.
I can't say for certain.
Are we sure that Cody won't
have
the baby
lose
in the parking lot?
Yes.
Just have him ship in
live
some form of medical facility, you know, and we just walk right out there.
Immediately has a match afterwards, too.
Pyro, baby's crying, dog's barking.
He gets attacked before the match. He's, like, blading in front of the baby. He goes out to the ring after the baby's born. Like, just beyond parody, I swear to God.
But aren't you scared that that's exactly how it's going to go?
I'm so scared. What I'm the most
scared of. Is going to go out there and lose a quick feud to Cody?
Oh, no. What I'm scared of is that Penta goes over. But Cody makes the entire match about him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you ain't got to be scared about that.
That's just the reality.
the hope is Penta goes over after the match is all about Cody, and Arn comes out, and Dustin comes out, and whoever else comes out, and then, you know, what you hope is that post that, Penta gets a push.
Yes.
Because that's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, Cody's going to make, it's going to be about Cody. You can bet that. Sting talks and Archer interrupts. And I thought Archer did good here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Sting being like, well, if they don't want to hear from me, that's fine, and walking off. I felt like that kind of felt good.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, almost acknowledgement of maybe I've been on TV a little too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he, it's worked. I felt like he had a great, great performance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that if you're part-time talent, or I mean, I don't know that if you aren't going to be on a steady wrestling schedule, you need to be talking on TV every week. It loses the specialness.
Yep.
You know, and I get him I get him on the heels of a big performance being there tonight. He might could have maybe missed a week or two a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tonight was the right night. It's just because of all the nights prior to that.
Oversaturation. It is an issue that is omnipresent throughout wrestling.
Right. Now, Archer, I thought, was good here, and I liked the way Jake kind of made fun of the Stinger and all that on the walkout. And if we get a Sting-Archer program, it's a little scary, but, I mean, that's Sting's choice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we get Ethan Page versus Lee Johnson, and the sound went out and really put a little damper on what I know both of us hope is a great career for Ethan.
I had no idea what was going on in the match. It was legitimately too distracting for me to even pay attention.
Some kind of weird underdub of basketball.
Yeah, it was like a basketball game. For some reason, it was just so muted. I was like, dude, is there someone out in the parking lot of Daly's place just like blasting the radio listening to a basketball game? That's what it sounded like. I was like, then it occurred to me, is that like a thing that could happen? Like, could anyone park loud enough and play music loud enough that would get on Dynamite?
Right, right.
I don't want to put that idea out in the world.
Right.
It's too late.
Now, we got Mox and Eddie Kingston drinking at Moxley's house, I believe. And they
love this segment.
It was great.
It was great.
I mean, what they were talking about was complete nonsense, but those two guys are so cool, it didn't even matter.
The chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just them talking over each other, but still being completely intelligible on both ends, amazing.
Yes.
Like, again, it was just a perfect little segment. Mox just sitting there with sunglasses on, looking like, you know, Weekend at Bernie's.
Mm-hmm.
Just phenomenal.
I wrestled a barbed wire match, and all I got was this stupid shirt. I mean, it's a cool shirt.
It is a cool shirt.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely gonna have to get that shirt.
But I just thought that line was cool. Whatever the nonsense was, Kingston was talking about remembering what happened when he was in jail as to why he passed out or whatever. It was so stupid.
Oh, whatever, dude.
But it worked. It works.
I'm past it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This between the opening match, this segment, and the segment that Kenny has later on, like, I'm just past it.
Yeah.
No. They seem like they're past it. I'm past it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they really didn't have to make as big a deal out of it as they did.
Yeah.
I would have been past it regardless. That was then. This is now. Let's move on.
I feel like that, but I feel like the way they handled it was still sufficient.
Tony T intros Christian, but Tony, not T, Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, I was like, who's Tony T?
I apologize. It's going to intro Christian, but out come the Good Brothers and Omega. Outcome, they get to talking. Callis is running long-winded here. Kingston comes out, and Omega runs him down a little bit, challenges him to a something or another. We have the strange 60 whatever on 69 Earth that me was. That was so whatever. And then, but anyway, Kingston
was I laughed at it because it was just, I don't know, man. For the last couple of weeks, I feel like Don and Kenny have finally like clicked it with me in terms of being heel, and I hate him now. In the way that
you're supposed to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now Kingston winds up punching old Omega upside the head, and then they believe they've got him cornered 4-1, and of course Mox comes out. Now, actually Kingston drops Omega, and he doesn't really get up. So you have the Good Brothers beating down Kingston, and Mox comes out, jumps them. So it looks like we're going to get some form of a Good Brothers feud with Mox and Kingston.
Yeah.
Because what happens next, after the ring is cleared, is Christian's countdown does happen. Christian comes out. Omega, they kind of chirp without a mic at each other for a second. Omega goes for a cheap shot. Christian moves. He almost hits the kill switch. And Omega gets out of there. Actually, Callis grabs his leg and pulls him out. But they wind up leaving the belt in the ring. Christian holds the belt both reverently and kind of towards Omega, like, you come get it if you want. And Christian has always been a pretty good talker. For him to be two appearances in without a word is kind of a neat thing.
Yeah.
Almost the opposite of what we got with Stinger or with some other. Less is more right here.
Yes, yes.
It looks like, I am stunned, but it looks like he's getting a program with the champion.
Shoot.
I would love for him to somehow or another. What you could do, if you wanted Swan or Moose to go over, like, just because it's champion versus champion, does that mean they have to take the belt?
No.
Like, do you foresee Kenny Omega on Impact every week?
No.
Or with the Impact belt at all?
No.
So, wouldn't a neat way to make amends over the fact that you've run Impact down this whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Be to have your champion, be it Swan or Moose. I would have it be Moose if Moose is going to win. When at the pay-per-view with Christian doing something.
Okay.
Christian could be back in the Impact Zone for the first time in a long, long time.
Yes.
He could distract Mox. You know, don't take Moose long. You get distracted, he can run right through you. 1, 2, 3. And then that gives them heat going into their program at wherever, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's the way you get it. And Impact gets something out of all of this, other than, you know, a couple of, and you can't underrate access to more people.
No, goodness, right? No.
So, you know, I belittle what they've done, but it's not fair. Now, we get the 6-woman tag match.
The start to this was so good.
Okay, they start brawling and
Maki Ito comes out as the third person to come out on the heel team.
Mm-hmm.
And then the face team just like rushes by her as she's singing and starts brawling with all of the heels in the ring, and the music cuts off and Maki Ito's still singing, and it's just kind of a perfect segment.
Absolutely.
Just cutting back and forth between Maki Ito and just like Vicky like choking Shida out with a kendo stick was just perfect. Like, I don't know, like even like JR like popped for it. JR loved it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was just a phenomenal segment.
Yeah. What did you think about the actual match?
I enjoyed it.
Were you a little surprised that Vicky seemed so willing to be physical throughout the whole thing?
Yeah. A little bit.
I wasn't badly surprised. No. I was just a little shocked at it. And we get to finish the famous crutch finish.
Yeah.
And then Rebel gets into the ring with Britt and the crutch, and they put that on Rosa. So those two are not done with each other, it seems.
No, because next week, the main event, not technically, but it's going to be the last match on the show. It's an unsanctioned match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa.
Nice.
Which is cool. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tony said at some point soon he was going to do that, which he needed to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then we wind up with a TNT title match. Sky versus Scorpio Sky versus Darby Allin. What'd you think about this?
I like this match.
Very good match.
I thought that the whole Darby a little banged up, not quite as smooth as he used to be, him not quite getting over on the I don't even know what you would call that move. Just diving over the rope, kind of messing up his ankle. Sky working the ankle, then eventually just getting caught by Darby. Because, that, I mean, Darby's won like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Darby's
the roll-up style. He's going for the TKO, and Darby rolls him up. And then Sky leans into his heel by leaning into Darby's heel.
Yes.
He gets Darby in a heel lock there. And he is a bad guy now. He is joyous in his dastardly ways as the referees try to get him off of Darby's ankle. I liked it. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good. Then we have the War Council. Inner Circle. Jericho talks a lot. Sammy Guevara comes out, who is dead to these men as of 2 weeks ago. And in spite of that, shows footage of the plan by MJF to overthrow the monarchy. MJF hates that it went down like this, but and Chris, we get swerve after swerve after swerve here.
I was entertained though.
Yeah, it looks like Chris is going to
be tossed out of the inner circle. Then all of a sudden,
it's him and Sammy, who's dead to him, side by side, about to fight off the inner circle. But that's not really what happens, because Pride and Powerful and Hagar take a couple of strides in front of MJF and turn, and then you realize it's the inner circle versus MJF, and MJF crawls into the corner, "Don't hurt me, don't hurt me," to which he says, "I never wanted your group. I was too busy making one of my own." Lights out, lights on. We get FTR.
With Tully.
Sean Spears.
And Wardlow.
Wardlow
looking massive.
Yes. And they put the beatdown on Inner Circle here.
I love the beatdown. It went on for like uncomfortably long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the way Sammy gets taken out, the way that Proud and Powerful got handcuffed and then pile driven.
And then you had MJF with the uncanny pinky ring punch that manages to split open Jericho's head somehow. Because it was the pinky ring that did it.
Is that what happened?
That's what JR told us.
JR does not lie.
He told us he hit him with the pinky ring. Except he called it something else. Whatever the real cool name for it is.
Oh, Lord. Diamond Dozen.
The Diamond Dozen ring. Yes. Okay, so you hit him with that, and Jericho's opened up, and then they carry Jericho up to the stage area, throw him off the stage onto the bed covered with a piece of board.
I mean, they beat him multiple times with moves. I mean, like, again, when I say the segment went on like uncomfortably long, I do say that as like a positive.
Yeah.
Because it was just kind of awful in all the right ways.
Well, I loved the last swerve.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I like MJF having his own faction. I like it having to do with Tully. You could see where MJF, he is absolutely not in a Flair style image, but there are the fat boys, there are the fat girls, which Flair would lean on at a younger age. There is the cowering away from contact, and then when things are going his way. So that in those aspects, there's enough similarity that it makes sense to put him with a Tully.
Dude, he's so freaking good in this segment.
Yeah.
MJF. Yeah. Just him crying in the corner, and then like later on the visual of Chris Jericho in that corner that he was crying in, and him sitting on the opposite turnbuckle, the like vertical.
Yeah.
It was perfect, you know?
To be honest with you, there's literally nothing you can do to Chris Jericho right now that makes me feel bad for him.
Straight up.
Just, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable for me. When you said it was uncomfortable for me,
You just loved it.
Hey, I don't understand why they're not really hitting him, was what I was thinking the whole time. You know, don't throw him onto that bed over there. Toss him over there onto the concrete. That's what I was thinking. So, you know. But I did love the MJF part. The one thing that hurts is Pride and Powerful still being in.
I know. That
in
was
the circle. And the other thing that hurts worse is I don't want Sammy with Jericho either.
That was the worst part to me. Was like, oh, man, they're still locked in there with him. Oh.
Right. I thought, let's get them three out with MJF. You know, and now all of a sudden they're still in there with him. I would love a Sammy Guevara, Pride Powerful faction, just them three.
Again, well, I'm talking about they should have trio belts. Like, those should be your inaugural champions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot.
I'm with you, man. Jericho has been a major focus on the show for a long time, rightfully so. He has been the demo god. I get all of that, and I understand it. I am a little over and would be over the moon to see Pride and Powerful and or Sammy get legitimate programs that don't have to do with somebody else's problems. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Other than that, you love the show.
I love the show. It was start to finish enjoyable.
Yes.
Even if I rag on Cody, even if I have nitpicks, I like watching Dynamite.
It's
pretty
fun.
Much every single week, yeah.
It's absolutely fun, right. We'll probably wait on New Japan and talk about it next week. So yep. I guess that's a wrap.
Yes.
What a wonderful show we've had. What a wonderful day we've had. We will see you at the movies. Not really. We'll watch wrestling and talk to you later. This has been me, KP, for New Japan Jared. Go Home Heat Production, copyright 2021. Go.